Welcome to the Print Pod. Tara Karta, a distinguished fellow at the Institute of Peace and Conflict Studies, wrote an article titled, Quad and AUKUS goals are clear as black and white, only one can cut back China's power. I am Tenzin Zompa and I bring you the podcast version of this article. The first ever in-person meeting of the Quad comprising India, US, Australia and Japan is now over and a wide-ranging joint statement issued. And no, it's no longer called the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue. An unnamed senior administration official who chose to give a briefing a few hours earlier called the Quad an informal grouping with no military or security dimension to it. Further, in response to questions, he said clearly that Quad and AUKUS were quite separate and had nothing at all to do with each other. That should serve to quieten those who have been calling the Quad an Asian NATO. But all the same time, the Quad essentially has an a la carte menu with each member left to bring to the table what it chooses to. To understand its potential, compare the two and decipher the objective of each. First, check what's there in the black and white. The AUKUS, which consists of Australia, UK and US, has its intent stated clearly by the joint statement, which specifically calls it an enhanced trilateral security partnership to strengthen the ability of each to support our security and defense interests. It doesn't get clearer than that. But it also adds that while signatories resolve to deepen diplomatic, security and defense cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region, this is also to be done by working with partners. That means each could be a node to strengthen security interests with other like-minded countries. Now look at the fact sheet of the Quad. Not one word on the military aspect, though the joint statement states we will continue to champion adherence to international law, particularly as reflected in the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea, to meet challenges to the maritime rules-based order, including in the East and South China Sea. That can't be attained by just pointing fingers. It needs some heft and might. Besides, any show of muscles or standing up at international forums can't be done just by one country, not even the United States. It needs a certain critical mass, but here's what's important. It's not obligatory for any member to step up. The underpinning organization and the cause. Now consider the organizations that underpin each other. AUKUS countries are already bound together by an overlay of mutual defense treaties. Australia is not part of the NATO, but has signed the Individual Partnership and Cooperation Program and has been part of NATO operations, including in Afghanistan. It is an enhanced opportunity partner together with others who operate alongside NATO on the ground. Simply put, it means that Australia exercises, arms itself and uses communication platforms that permit interoperability with any or all of NATO countries. Quite separately, Australia and the United States have operated together since 1918, with this formalized through a security treaty in 1951, but which doesn't specifically commit to mutual defense. Australia also cooperates closely with the US on missile defense and has some 580 defense personnel across the United States embedded with the American military. The UK has its Mutual Defense Agreement of 1958 extended in 2004, effectively letting the US complement the UK nuclear effort. The United States has some 9,000 personnel in the United Kingdom in shared RAF bases, while British officers are stationed in a variety of roles in the United States. Incidentally, the United States has long funded various projects in Northern Ireland, and President Joe Biden, in his meeting with Prime Minister Boris Johnson, reiterated his long-standing support for a secure and prosperous Northern Ireland in which all communities have a voice and enjoy the gains of the hard-won peace. That's just to underline that there is a price to be paid for a special relationship. In a similar vein, Australia opting for US nuclear-powered submarines ensures that it's tied by the leg to the United States for decades to come, even after the submarine is produced sometime in 2040. Compare that to the Quad. There is, as of now, no secretariat for the grouping, nor is there likely to be. Instead, it works through a series of bilaterals between members. For India, that means the 2+2 framework, defense and foreign ministers, which has now been bolstered considerably by two summits. Those bilaterals covered a lot, including defense ties. Consider the US-India joint statement that welcomes the inclusion of Australia in the United States-India-Japan naval exercises, India's hosting of various Indo-Pacific conferences like the one of Army Chiefs, positioning of liaison officers at keynotes, and cooperation in defense industry. The first 2+2 with Australia has similar clauses, welcoming the Quad, invitations to military exercise, and joint partnerships in the defense industry. This 2+2 framework is replicated, for instance, between Japan and Australia, and each of these is serviced by critical ministries on the bilateral basis. India has also signed logistics agreements with each, all of which together with the signing of the 4 foundational agreements with the United States bring it to a network of information sharing and geospatial information with the others. Add to that a series of exercises and there is some limited interoperability that is only likely to grow as India buys more US defense equipment, which according to one account involves some $22 billion in the last decade and probably another $10 billion waiting to be inked. But here's the thing, interoperability is still limited, particularly as New Delhi insists on continuing to buy Russian equipment like the S-400. There are no Indians embedded in any US or other facility, and Quad countries do not operate together on the ground for any extended period. Important joint actions like the Malabar naval exercises began in 1992 and has nothing much to do with the Quad per se. And finally, in defense equipment, we are tied to several countries, a dubious privilege, but less dangerous than being tied to just one. So what is the Quad at present? For an understanding of how important the Quad is poised to be, consider the areas of cooperation outlined not just in the joint statement, which includes production of 1 billion vaccines, cybersecurity, climate crisis, and other issues, but also a separate agreement on development of critical and emerging technologies, which calls for not just supply chain management, but also fair markets and non-use of technology for operation. No prices for guessing who that is aimed at. All of this becomes vitally important because one thing is considered. No one is going to war with China as a substantial nuclear power that is a risk too great to even consider. When that uncomfortable reality is accepted, it then becomes clear that the only way to circumscribe Chinese power is actually through all of the initiatives outlined in the Quad documents that cut back on China as the world's supermarket. As the unnamed senior administration official said, the Quad is not a security grouping. It really doesn't have to be. Leave that to the AUKUS, they're welcome to it. And here's the best part. A body that obliquely limits China and at the same time builds up Atmanirbhar India suits Delhi right down to the ground, even as the muscle flexing is done elsewhere. Quad and AUKUS complement each other. That's the bottom line. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode.